Our scripture reading for this morning will come from Jude, beginning with verse 17. The book of Jude, chapter 1, beginning with verse 17, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. As you can tell, we are attempting to finish our brief study of the book of Jude today. And I want to say that it's been sobering for me to look at Jude again. I'm sure that it's been this way every time I've studied it, but Jude is a cautionary letter, a warning. Still very relevant, isn't it, to today and what we are experiencing. The title of my lesson this morning is Scoffers. I have written out on the marquee, mockers and scoffers come and go. The truth remains. Were you ever around someone who was a teller of tall tales? Quite often that kind of person is one who's already been everywhere you began to talk about, has done more than you have ever done, and done it better. How long did it take you to reach the point in listening to someone like that that you began to discount the things that they say? In fact, perhaps you even become a scoffer of what they are revealing. Now, it's one thing to be a scoffer of one who tells tall tales. It's quite another to be one who mocks God. Imagine being a scoffer of the gospel, of the truth, of God's very revelation. In verse 18, Jude writes, that they were saying to you, this is the apostles were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. There's that ungodly theme again that we capitalized on in last week's lesson as we had ungodly characteristics and traits described to us, as well as in looking at the writings of Enoch in verse 15 of the number of times that he used the term ungodly. Following their own ungodly lusts. It pays to be careful of who you give your ear to, of to whom you listen. Are you a discerning listener? When you were in sports, did you listen more to the trash talk on the courts from your competitors or to your coach? If you have military experience, do you turn to the enemy to listen to his propaganda, or do you turn to your commanding officer to listen to them? How good are young mothers at selective hearing, tuning out all other stimuli so that they can tune in their pleadings of their own little ones. Does it pay to listen to the right sources? Absolutely. Jude is saying in verse 17, "But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." Remember the words of the apostles. For us, the apostles are long dead, having left this world. But we have the blessing of the inspired word written down for us, preserved so that we might know, just as we are reading from the last part of Jude today. You, brethren, ought to remember the words spoken beforehand. 2,000-plus-year-old words being relevant today? What we have contrasted for us in today's lesson is actually atheism or Gnosticism and faith. Do you believe that there is a God? Do you believe that He created all things? Do you think that He still is in control of all? Do you have hope of heaven? Then the Word of God is relevant to you. But if you don't have a faith, or your faith is very weak, then you don't stay tuned to what God has to say. And we're going to describe and look at some passages of Scripture this morning that talk about those who are mockers and scoffers and where their frame of mind is. And unlike a young mother who's in tune with their children's cries, they have no desire to listen to their father who is in heaven. Let me read you some other versions of this verse 18. I'll read it again in the New American Standard where we started. "That they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers, following their own ungodly lusts." Now from the Bible in basic English. "How they said to you, in the last days there will be men who, guided by their evil desires, will make sport of holy things." The CEV, Contemporary English Version. "They told you that near the end of time, selfish and godless people would start making fun of God." The ERV, English Version. "They told you in the last time there will be people who laugh at God and do only what they want to do, things that are against God." And finally, the Good News Bible. "They said to you, when the last days come, people will appear who will make fun of you, people who will follow their own godless desires." Can you imagine making fun of God in order that you might do what you want? It's happening today, isn't it? There are those who so discount the very notion that there is a spiritual realm as to ridicule it, up one side and down the other. And yet, what do we know about the Bible? What do we believe? That we have in our hands the very revealed will of God. And His Word is our life. It's the basis of our faith. As John ends his letter, he says to them, verse 24, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless and with great joy." That's what we believe about the Bible. It keeps us out of trouble and enables us to have eternal life. We would be lost without it. You say, that's an understatement. And yet, within the Bible, there is this very clear message, as we're reading this morning, that we're going to have those who are adversarial. And, in fact, those who will literally make fun of us and of God for believing in Him. God has warned us that this is Satan's way. in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Why would God give us such a series of downer passages? It's just like what we tell to our children as they leave the house. Be careful. Be safe. Look both ways. Stop at the stop signs. What are we trying to get them to understand? You have to consciously desire to be safe. So it is in the spiritual realm. We must understand that the Bible is warning us we face an adversary. Who is that adversary? Teaching doctrines of demons, deceitful spirits. That adversary is Satan. He's been with us since the beginning, hasn't he? Satan would lead astray the souls of men so that he might claim them for his own. And what we're going to see as we look at these passages of scriptures, like with Timothy and as we go into Peter, what we're going to see is that Satan actually creates chaos and destruction with his teachings and his doctrines. These come out of his evil heart and a desire to, you've heard the saying, misery loves company, and a desire to have as much company as possible, and to share that with him for eternity. Mockers following after their own lusts. This is from 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Mockers will come following after their own lust. And one of their arguments, at least their one of their best arguments, is same old, same old. It's always, the world has just always been here. It's always existed, always will. Everything is the same as it was from the beginning. Mockers will come. You ever had anyone say that? Oh, what's so pressing? You ask them to come and worship with you or to study with you, and they just laugh and set it aside. What do they know? Well, maybe they don't know much, but they know that you're probably going to tell them some things that they're going to have to change, and some activities that they thoroughly enjoyed that they're going to have to give up. Because they are enjoying themselves, following after their own lusts, is the way Peter described it. And so just let it go. Leave me be. I'm just another small cog in this great machinery of mankind. Nothing of what I do is all that important. And so life will continue just as it is. Is that a good argument? Well, we know from what Paul told Timothy, it's a doctrine of demons. Do you feel responsible? Accountable? Do you feel that you have a Heavenly Father who will, on the last day, if you have been faithful, reward you? And the opposite of that, if you've been unfaithful to Him, we know God is in control, don't we? Mockers following after their own lust. And in the process, what happens to the truth? It's not just discounted, it's set aside. This is from 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. What we've seen a couple of times now is a veiled reference to these mockers coming from within the brotherhood. And we have experienced that in our generation, haven't we? We've watched those who have been faithful to the Lord weaken and then turn against and then become even antagonistic toward the church. Listen again. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. That's almost incomprehensible, to have come to a knowledge of the truth, been saved through the waters of baptism, and then as you go through the course of your life, turn against the very truths that give you hope. How could you do that? Well, how does a person become addicted to drugs? When you fail to see that your purpose in life is to please God and you begin to please yourself, Satan gets a hold of you. And so you incorporate your own lustful desires into your doctrines. And if misery loves company, you try to encourage others to engage in the same. And before you know it, you've got a divisive spirit within you. Deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, mockers will come following their own lusts. False teachers teaching destructive heresies, and the truth will be maligned. Years ago, there was a motto that walked with the brethren. Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible is silent. Do we still walk in that today? God has the last say. May we never become one, as described in those other versions that we read, who make fun of God. Bible in basic English, how they said to you in the last days, there will be men who, guided by their own evil desires, will make sport of holy things. CEV, selfish and godless people would start making fun of God. I cannot imagine the audacity of making fun of God. Nor do I want to stand in the day of judgment being guilty of such. Why does Satan do it? Why does he enter the hearts of men so that he might capture them and anyone else who will listen? And in the process, he develops a false prophet or a false teacher whose desire becomes not to save but to exploit, to take advantage. 2 Peter 2, verse 3, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. We're going to talk about that destruction that God is planning in the last day for those who mock Him and scoff Him. We're going to talk about being a firefighter in this afternoon's lesson. Who is it that falls for this dissimulation? The psalmist says it this way in Psalms 14, beginning with verse 1. For the choir director, a psalm of David, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. It's quite foolish, isn't it, to discount, to discredit to disregard the words of God. And so dangerous. May we never become a mocker or a scoffer. It will simply identify us as the fool that we are. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fruits of unbelief, oh, corruption, committing abominable deeds, not doing anything that is good. The Lord is looking down to see if he can find someone righteous. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, listen to Paul's description of those who have left the faith. And think chaos. Think darkness. Think death. 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Remember our lesson, avoid the company of Balaam and Korah and Cain. Here Paul is telling his son in the faith, Timothy, avoid those who are living this kind of lifestyle. Those who have gone over to the ways of Satan. Lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant. And then look at the descriptions. It's so relevant to our society today, isn't it? Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, without self-control, treacherous, and conceited. What is being described for us? Chaos, darkness, which is where man goes when he lives by his passions or pleasure, wanting to live by their pleasure, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I just want, not I just need. God's word is there for a reason. To guide us, to direct us. Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Would you live eternally with the Father? You must come through Jesus. How do we know that? Listen, remember the words of the apostles. The things that they have said to you. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we are silent. Else we lose certainly control of ourselves and focus in our life, but we lose our souls. We lose the promise of eternal life. In closing, I want to reference an example in the Old Testament of a man of God who was being mocked and how God handled it at the time that it took place. We're going back some 850 years before the time of Christ to a prophet by the name of Elisha. These words are found in 2 Kings chapter 2, specifically verses 23 and 24 that I'll read in just a moment. Elisha has followed in the shadow of another great prophet of God named Elijah. In fact, Elijah called him to service, setting his cloak over him. And as Elisha basically has begun his ministry, it's during the time of the divided kingdoms. Israel has already separated to the north, the 10 tribes, and then there's the 2 tribes to the south that are called Judah. And Israel has started out godless and gets worse and worse. But as Elisha is moving from one place to the next, he passes this group of lads, it's described, children, and they begin to make fun of him. They begin to mock him. Beginning with verse 23, 2 Kings chapter 2. Then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, young lads came out from the city and mocked him, and said to him, "Go up, you bald head! Go up, you bald head!" When he looked behind him and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then 2 female bears came out of the woods and tore up 42 lads of their number. Now, that's a pretty big bunch of kids. 42 of them get rended by the bears, but that's only a portion of the number of kids. I don't know where the kids have gotten their motivation, but I can't help but think it's from their parents who have disparaged Elisha and his message from God. But what does God think about mocking a man of his word? What does God think of making fun of the things that he reveals that man should do? Elisha, as Elijah did, is going through the countryside correcting the people, as well as kings, because they're failing to honor God. Just as Jude is trying to encourage us to honor God and saying, be on your guard. Satan has always sought to discourage with mockers and scoffers. Well, here these lads begin to make fun of things that are holy, and how does God handle it? Through Elisha. And the she-bears came out from the woods, 2 of them, and tore up 42 of the lads. How important is it for us to be selective in our hearing, to listen to that which is from God? But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to face opposition, but we must understand from whence it comes. What we are striving to hang on to is from God. That which would discourage us is from Satan. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in His Word? Do you want to have hope of eternal life? May we never be one who becomes a scoffer of God's Word. May we always turn away from those who would lead us astray. In the last days, there will be mockers and scoffers. They will come and go. The truth remains.